This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, is your shop part of the Motorist Assurance Program? That's MAP. If this is the first you are hearing about the Motorist Assurance Program, you may just be pleased to know that MAP provides repair and maintenance standards that create a trust between the consumer and your business. Now, besides the consumer element, MAP follows and gets updates on state bills, guidelines, and regulations that you may not be aware of. From the Aftermarket Radio Network, Carm Capriotto here. Now, our mission on this podcast is to advance the aftermarket, and this episode brings forth a strong engagement for you to be part of the Motorist Assurance Program. Some great information for you in this episode. Stick with it until the end. And another job for you is to sign the petition at repairact.com to let your congressman know that you want to protect a competitive motor vehicle repair market. That is repairact.com. Hey, do it for our future. Thanks to our partner Napa for providing you this episode. You know, the Napa Expo will be held July 18th through the 21st at the Venetian Convention and Expo Center in Las Vegas. I'll be there. Hope to see you. Stay on the forefront of the latest technologies and industry trends. Registration is open, and if you're not enrolled and interested in attending, contact your servicing Napa store for more information. Hey, everybody, it's Carm, and I've got an interesting and very important podcast episode here today. I'm with Jeff Cox from Motorist Assurance Program and Jim Bennett, who owns a really big 17-bay shop called Car Masters in Norfolk, Virginia. Jeff Cox, President, Automotive Maintenance and Repair Association, and you guys have MAP, and this is your baby, right?
That's right. You know, the Automotive Maintenance and Repair Association is a not-for-profit association that organizations in the aftermarket join to help strengthen relationships and build trust with their customers. And they do that through the Motorist Assurance Program, or what most people know as MAP.
Just give us a minute on all the great things that you've done in the industry.
My family owned an independent shop, and I spent much of my teen years there. And my uncle really encouraged me to seek education. And so I went off and I got a bachelor's degree in automotive technology from Southern Illinois University, one of the elite automotive schools in the country. And after that, I got into education. And quite frankly, during my time at school, they convinced me to teach. And I'm thinking, I want to try to get out of school. I'm not trying to spend more time in school, but they convinced me to do that. And so I went down a different path and fine-toothed my skills as an instructor and as a trainer, and went off and got a master's degree in organizational psychology or organizational leadership, and spent the last, 20 years or so in corporate America, most of my time at Bridgestone, and I ran their technical training group for a while. And then I got into service merchandising and marketing. And then the last 5 years at AMRA as the president and COO. So a lot of people say, oh, how could you do so much? You're a young guy, but I'm probably not as young as people think. And I've just been, tenacious in my career and trying to do as much as I can for an industry that has given me a life that I never dreamed of. And so it's I'm pretty passionate about this industry, that's for sure.
Point is that there's a lot inside the independent world that doesn't have an appreciation for MAP. And our job here, my job, and actually Jeff and Jim's job, is to change that. Jim Bennett, been around the world. I got what Jim's basic qualifications were, and it reads like, a five-page encyclopedia, five-volume encyclopedia, Jim. Incredible background. You're a full-time ATI coach. You own a 17-bay shop, and the countless other things that you do. Set us up with, maybe about a minute of what's going on in your world so that we can establish the foundation here in the show.
After retiring from the Navy, I had opened the Car Masters Automotive, founded it 4 years before I retired. In the military, I was an engineering and construction mechanic. I grew up in the Midwest, not far from Jeff. My dad was a union president of Chicago Assembly Ford plant, and we had a shop at home. So I was working on cars my whole life, and it was a passion. And my next door neighbor had a tractor trailer owner operator. So I was doing PMs on semis and driving around his yard when I was 14, 15 years old. I joined the Navy when I was 17 as a construction mechanic, went on to be an engine man and was an instructor and a curriculum developer and many other things. One of the things that I started doing in my own shop was mentoring young people because I was went through leadership management education training, they called LMET in the military. I seen the need in the automotive industry, and I volunteered. I was on the ASC beta tester for the recertification app. I reviewed NAPA's apprentice program before it went out and helped give them some feedback to help with its success. ATI came to me. I hired them because I knew how much coaching and training is for anybody. You know, nobody knows everything. It's good to be held accountable. So they've been coaching and training me since February of 09. They came to me because I've got 30 ASC certs, world-class tech, you know, Virginia State Police Safety Inspector. I'm also through AMI, Accredited Master Automotive Manager, to start and lead their technician training because they've been doing shop owners and service advisor coaching and training for decades and one of the best in the industry. So because that was been my passion and great in the Navy, I only did two shore tours. And one of them, I volunteered to be instructor. And right away, because I had so much expertise on different classes of shipping experience, they made me a curriculum developer. Normally, it's a second tour instructor's job. Two of the core, I developed three courses, two got college accredited. One was being through the accreditation process when I left. So that's my passion. I love helping people. I love teaching. Then one of the first things with ATI was developing a technician mentoring workshop. Because so many great technicians have never had leadership training. Part of that workshop was the mandatory requirement that an ATI technician mentor be MAP certified and use MAP, AMRA, Uniform Inspection Communication Standards. That's a key integral because I've also been a claims inspector for arbitration and a court expert witness for over 20 years. And I've actually did a presentation. It's called You May Not Have Done Anything Wrong, But You Didn't Do Enough Right. And a lot of that's related to documentation and inconsistent and incomplete documentation. This is where MAP is so essential to keep shops out of trouble, be more professional, and on the same page.
The deal is, guys, you want to talk about the standards that build trust.
Right. You know, and for the past 30 years, that's really what AMRA, the Automotive Maintenance and Repair Association, has been doing. And at the core, we look at the vehicle and we look at every component on that vehicle, whether it be a windshield wiper, a ball joint, an ADAS camera, and we get engineers and we get subject matter experts to help us document every reason why that component would fail. And we create this database, and technicians that are on our program, they have access to this database so that when they're doing inspections, if they're going to recommend that ball joint for replacement, it's going to fall within our criteria. When you have this set of standards, now as a shop owner, you know that every one of your technicians is going to inspect and recommend those components, those parts to that consumer for the same reason. And that consumer knows that anything being recommended to them falls under a certain criteria. And that's really where we can really build consistency into shops. We can build transparency between the shop and the consumer. And at the end, those two things really equal, a trusted visit. And that customer, that consumer really benefits and has a trusted relationship with that MAP shop.
Don't we want this? Don't we want a huge reputation? It was scoured, you know, years ago. The commercials were making us look like fools. We didn't know what we were doing. And of course, no disrespect to the dealerships, they're after our business. I always say that there's enough business for every independent in town. Stop chasing each other. Build a great business. The top shops, Jim, tell me if I'm right or wrong, they have worked their butts off to build a great reputation and build trust and relationship with their customer. Yet we're continue to drag, Jim, the next group over the line to find their best level of success, profitability. You got to run a profitable shop if you're going to be able to do anything. So, you know, the point is coaching is critically important. But our reputation, to me, I am not sure where reputation falls on the chart, but it needs to be up there in the top five.
And part of that trust, you have to have consistency to maintain that trust. And where so many shops, when they see, say, an oil is past due by time and miles of the oil life monitor, and it's on the dipstick in the normal range, but it's a little dark, they recommend an oil change. And they put on their documentation, recommend oil change. They get it in the shop, they see the brake pads are metal on metal. They recommend brakes. Well, that word recommend really, you know, one is a maintenance suggested thing, and the other one's required for safety. And this is where so many shops say needs, recommend. They're inconsistent, even within from one tech to another tech in the same shop, let alone throughout the country. This is where MAP starts at the very essential and having that consistent communication where certain items like that oil change would be suggested or the brakes would be required. The other thing, when you go to, Jeff mentioned the over 4,000 uniform inspection communication standards, and there's a huge list for ADOS. This is a very, it had over 4,000 years ago. This is a huge list. But when you go in there, instead of the customer, you know, when they want to know, why do I need that? It's not because Carm said so, or Jeff said so, or Jim said so, because his race car needs new tires. You know, it's because this is industry manufacturer standards that tell it's required replacement. And that's MAP spells it out. More importantly, when you go into those standards, and like I'll give an example, many technicians start out with oil services and tire services. If you go to the MAP Uniform Inspection Communication Standards for a tire, it's pages of what to inspect. I don't care how sharp a technician is that's training an apprentice, it's hard to remember every single possible thing that could go wrong with a tire. MAP does that for you. To where this can be used as a training tool as well as a communication consistency tool. That's why we require it in our training.
And, you know, Carm, going back to the, you know, the image of the automotive industry and particularly the aftermarket, that's really how our organization started. You know, this was back in the 90s when, and many people remember this, when big service providers is on Dateline or on 2020. And there's a whole story about over recommending shocks and struts and how there was this sting operation, and everybody in the industry is saying, oh my gosh, we have a big problem on our hand and this is only going to get worse. And because that event, that show was so popular, all of the local news, you know, stations thought we could do the same thing. And now, you know, all of these really kind of bad scenarios were starting to show up, and these cars that weren't fair to the independent shops or the shops were showing up in their bays, and they could not win. It was a no-win situation for the aftermarket. And that was in 92. And here we are in 2022. And I feel like we have made leaps and bounds in progress, but we have a long way to go. I don't feel like our job is done until a customer can go into a repair shop and not doubt those recommendations. And I know people, even within my family, who have been in the automotive industry, when they take their car in to get service work done and they say, you need a cabin filter, the first thought is, do I really need that? And there is doubt amongst consumers. And in our program, at least we have answers for those doubts, and we have science that backs up those recommendations. And, you know, it's just a matter of progressing this forward and getting more and more shops on. The more shops we have on the program, the more opportunities consumers get to have a trusted visit. And that's how we'll combat this. And that's how we'll progress the aftermarket forward.
Hey, it's no secret. We're facing a technician shortage, and NAPA Auto Care has a solution with the NAPA Auto Care Apprentice Program. The program was pioneered by one of our own. Pete McNeil and Master Technician Jake Sorensen from McNeil's Auto Care in Sandy, Utah, realized that the problem of not having technicians available for hire was not going to solve itself and decided to take action and look at a different audience of individuals available for hire. A focus was put on younger individuals with the right passion, desire, and attitude to work in the automotive repair industry. Jake and Pete sought after these individuals and developed a technician apprentice program to give them the training needed to become a successful technician in today's world. The NAPA Auto Care Apprentice Program includes a comprehensive 9-stage curriculum that includes a variety of types of training, and they are classroom training videos exclusive to the apprentice program. Now, these videos provide in-depth training from a successful master technician. Also, AutoTech classes with instructor-led courses offered through NAPA AutoTech and AutoTech e-learning. This web-based e-learning is designed to target specific training topics. And finally, hands-on learning. The apprentice will apply the skills gained from the classroom training videos, AutoTech instructor-led training, and AutoTech e-learnings in the shop with the guidance of a mentor. The apprentice program curriculum is competency-based, meaning an apprentice can move through each stage at a pace that best suits them. Most apprentices complete the program within 2 years. Upon completion, apprentices will have earned ASE G1, A4, A5, and AC certifications, adding industry validation to the skills an apprentice acquires. Look, having an apprentice in your shop will ultimately benefit your bottom line as they advance through the program. And in most cases, as the apprentice develops their skill set producing billable hours, you'll begin to see a growth in your gross profit by stage 5. One of the largest barriers to entry for individuals looking to enter the automotive repair industry is the cost of tools. Now, keep your apprentice motivated with an apprentice toolkit. Now, NAPA Auto Care has worked with our supplying partners to offer an exclusive comprehensive tool set, including a 4-drawer tool cart for all registered apprentices. Hey, to learn more, members can visit member.napaautocare.com. If I went to a shop consistently, I trusted them, and they said I needed a cabin air filter, I wouldn't have a doubt in my mind that they were right, that they weren't trying to sell me something that I didn't need, because they continued to prove every interaction with and with a strong relationship that I trusted. It's almost like never take advantage of a relationship or a trust factor. You have to constantly earn it with every transaction. Jeff, how are you going about recruiting, hundreds of thousands of shop owners, independent shop owners, into your organization?
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest opportunity for us. And it's also the biggest challenge. You know, as I mentioned in the opener, we're a non-for-profit. And so our revenue is low. We don't charge a lot to become a member. We don't charge a lot to be part of our program. And so having a small revenue base, it's good on one end, but it cripples us in our ability to reach out. And I wish I had a $5 million marketing campaign that I could go out and run commercials and be on TV and do the things that we probably need to do to attract independent shop. In a lot of cases, it's out of reach for us. And so we do a lot of our work grassroots. We do a lot of our recruiting and a lot of our education of our program through organizations like NAPA and their NAPA Auto Care Centers and Advance Auto Parts and their TechNet stores and O'Reilly on their, you know, first call. We leverage our relationships with, you know, other organizations that have, you know, relationships with independent shops, and doing things like what we're doing today, you know, is just trying to reach out and let independent shops know that we have resources for you. We have tools for you to be successful. This program is simple to implement, important, but simple. A lot of our work is done through those types of efforts. You know, we also do a lot of social media stuff. We're trying to connect with shop owners through Facebook and other types of social media. It's working. You know, we've got a great relationship with ATI. We're part of their program. And so we have really increased our number of independent shops that are part of our program. But as we know, we have a very fragmented industry. There are a lot more independent shops out there than probably anybody even realizes. And they're doing good work. And we have a lot of great tools for them. And it's just, it's, you know, one store at a time. We take this one store at a time as we onboard them. And hopefully we'll continue to onboard even more independent shops over the next year and even after.
Jim, let me ask you a question about embracing MAP, just like people embrace ASE. Some shops, they don't care. They won't pay for a test. They don't put up any signage or certificates. And others embrace it big time. And when you look at the nonprofit ASE and the marketing money that they don't have to establish ASE as, you know, if you will, world-class standard, it seems like your struggle is almost the same. If I joined MAP, what do I get? A sign in the window? Do I put, you know, the MAP, the motorist.org website up? What do I do to give the customer the assurance that we live by these standards? Jim, how does it work?
Even before I became an instructor and a technician mentor at ATI, my shop was MAP participant and a MAP certified shop. And how that works, when you join, they have an online training and an online test. Once you get a manager, supervisor, owner certified, they can agree to participate. And besides them being certified, as well as everybody in the shop can take the test, training and certification to get certified, which is encouraged, the shop can get itself MAP Motors Assurance Program participant designated. There's a locator. There's an incredible amount of training information that's available for the consumer of how they should be treated. as well as great training for shop owners, service advisors, like on what's important to a customer that JD Power and other organizations do just for MAP. Excellent webinars, but it gets better, okay? MAP also has, and pardon me if I'm speaking out of turn here, Jeff, but when you have larger organizations, like I'm the president of Hampton Roads of Virginia, Napa Business Development Group. When an entire group joins, they're already not that expensive. They even lower their margins a little less and give a group discount. What's really important, and I can, you know, give you facts that people can verify. Wayne, that in Hampton Roads, Virginia, owns two Speedies that are Napa Auto Cares. He came to me and was like, "Thank you so much, Jim." I'm like, "What do you mean?" Because we signed the whole group up. His sister-in-law works for a large corporation that has a fleet of vehicles. They won't give a shop their account unless they're MAP certified. So there's many, many corporate entities that know the value of proper training and consistent communication, and they will not deal with and work with and give their work to a shop if they're not MAP certified. So, I mean, I know we only have so much time. I could go on and on. That's just a tip. There's so much training, so much education. Those communication standards, they have a new tire life matrix that came out last fall where they reference when the manufacturers, different manufacturers, and people don't know this. Some manufacturers say replace every tire at 6 years, regardless of mileage, even the spare. And the years vary. They do the homework for us, for the automotive industry, to help keep us out of trouble and do the right thing by our customers. And they have references for everything.
When a shop comes onto our program, they do get, there's a decal that all of the MAP participating facilities get. It goes on the front door, so every consumer knows that they are part of the program. As Jim mentioned, we have a store locator on our website, and that's on, it's our consumer-facing website, motorist.org. And we get thousands and thousands of consumers every month come on our website looking for a trusted shop. And now you become part of that database, and it's a geolocation. So no matter where they're at, whether they're broken down on the side of the road or in their hometown, we help place consumers to those shops. And so we like to think that we drive traffic, or we put cars in bays. One of the things that's really unique about our association is the involvement from all of these large organizations. Organizations like Hunter Engineering, SMP, and AutoZone, and Drive is a good example. And they bring all of this expertise forward, and they're helping us write this criteria. They're helping us create these webinars. All of our members benefit from it. It's a tremendous amount of resource. It's an industry-wide movement. It's all just accessible for the shop. So when a shop joins, it's not an individual, it's the entire shop. It's all of the employees. And those certifications, they don't expire. They take it, you know, they have it for the rest of their life. And, you know, we create the training for them. So, you know, in my opinion, there's a tremendous amount of value for the very small cost of being a member.
What is that small cost?
Yeah, for an independent shop, it's $150 a year, not a month. That's an entire year. And as Jim says, if you have multiple shops, the cost per shop goes down. So whether you're an independent shop or you have a bunch of shops, it's so affordable. We're probably one of the best secrets of the automotive industry, and I wish it wasn't a secret.
It sounds like that to me. Let me ask a question to you, Jim, about your DVI. And, you know, we get a chance to create our own DVI and our own, you know, our own steps and our own process. Have you used MAP standards in your DVI, Jim?
Absolutely, we do. We've used digital vehicle inspection since 2014 in my shop, Car Masters. And we changed the labels on the DVI because some of them start out as good, marginal, or failed, or faulty. We change it to suggest, require. And now Virginia's a state inspection, so if something falls under a state inspection, then it would be reject if it fails a safety item. So we absolutely use those standards. So everything is conversed, conveyed, explained to the customer using MAP standards. As well as Jeff had mentioned, that fee was for the entire shop. The entire shop can log in, everyone at the same time, every tech, every advisor, shop owner, when they get a shop login. So it's not like some logins where you can only log one at a time. This is meant for the whole shop to benefit, educate, and be in sync with the standards.
Help me understand, both of you, joining the Motorist Assurance Program works inside the shop. What do we go to the website for? What do we talk to the customer about? How do we integrate the training into our training? Give me an idea.
First thing is we give you credentials. So when a shop wants to join, we create usernames and passwords for them. Once they have a username and password, now they can log on and they can start to access some of the content material that we have. When they log in, they can take the training. It's about 20, 25 minutes long. It's an e-learning. Or we can give them the SCORM file. If they're part of a bigger association that has their own learning management system, we can integrate it into that. So we try not to be separate if we don't have to be. But if they don't have those resources, then, you know, we can give them those resources. From there, we decide, are they on a digital inspection or are they on a paper-based inspection? If they're on a digital inspection, we have an API that we've created to take all of our standards and integrate it into any digital inspection platform. So if they're on a paper-based, we do either a secured link or, again, we have credentials and they have access to the database. So if on a paper version of it, they log on when needed. It works like Google. You type in any part, that shock, strut, ball joint, tire, and then all of the appropriate conditions, come up. But the digital inspection is really it's the future, right? I'm in love with digital inspections because it works on our behalf. It creates transparency. It creates some of the things that we've been working towards. Because with digital inspections, it's easy to text the information. It's easy to email that information to consumers. We're really in love with. And our API, it even makes it better because now that technician, when they're doing their inspection, you know, a windshield wiper, when they click on windshield wiper, all of the conditions come up. All they have to do is select one and automatically puts it into two columns. Suggested. So suggested are all items that either are getting to the end of its useful life, things like that, or required, which means it's broken, it's missing, it's, you know, more severe things. It automatically categorizes everything for that technician. And that's been really positive. It's something very new for us, this API. And so we're really excited about that. And we really think that the future is bright because it makes it even easier for shops to use our program. Now we are integrated into that daily process that they're already using with the digital inspection.
You know, I could see a young intern spending a lot of time there.
If I can add another serious value that is really overlooked, we've got over 1,700 ATI shops in our network right now, and there's ones joining all the time. And then there's dozens of different advisors and techs per shops. I had an overwhelming request from all of the shops. They wanted a communication essentials training where basically between the service advisor to the tech and back to the customer. I did that live a week ago in Lynchburg at a shop, and I'm doing it virtually tomorrow for the ATI shops. One of the things I learned, many, many shops are not aware that the majority of the states in the U.S. have laws just like the Virginia Automobile Repair Facilities Act, very similar to that. Those laws require that they identify if a part's new, used, rebuilt, you know, salvage, etc. They require estimated completion times. There's a lot of things that are in the law that shops are not aware of. When you compare the Motorist Assurance Program standards to like the Virginia Automobile Repair Facilities Act, if you're a MAP shop and you're following those standards, you've covered probably 95% of what the law requires. And many states are similar. And there's so many people that don't know until there's a problem when somebody is taking them to court or something. If you're ahead of the program and you're following MAP standards, you've covered the basis for the majority of the common laws throughout the different states in the country that people just aren't aware of.
It's a huge advantage for independent shops. Part of our program, we track every piece of regulation, every piece of legislation that happens in this country. And you know, for those big corporations, they have legal staffs that track this stuff. But if I'm an independent shop, how do I know that the tire disposal regulation in my state changed? I don't know that till somebody's standing at my door handing me a fine. Different laws that are being introduced, we track all that stuff, and it is a monthly report that all of our members get. And I think there's a lot of pieces like that that puts an independent shop on the same level and gives them the same resources as those large organizations that have lots of staff to be able to do that. You know, independent shops, a lot of times the shop owner may be a former technician, maybe still a technician. They have smaller staffs. They don't have marketing teams. They don't have legal teams. They don't have the same support, but they need it. And we can help with that. And that's one of the things that I'm so proud of our staff and what they've done is to be able to get these resources to independent shops so they can compete on the same level, so that they have those same pieces of resources to keep them out of trouble and keep them ahead. If they want to move into a new territory, if they want to open a new shop in a new state, how do you even begin to understand the new laws in that state? It can be cumbersome, and we track all that stuff, and we have lots of resources around it. And probably one of our most underutilized resources is our legal stuff, but there's so much value. You know, could you imagine if you had to hire a lawyer to understand the regulations in a state? It's going to be a lot more than $150.
You're basically saying you've got a section, you type in your state, and there it is.
So it happens a couple different ways. We track it by state. So on our website, once you have your credentials, you see a map of the United States. And if you hover over that state, it'll tell you all the bills that have been introduced. It tells you everything that's going on within that state. And you click on it, it takes you to the actual bill. And within that bill, you can read the all of the language if you'd like. You can see who's voted for it. You know, yes, no. You know, you can see party lines, and you can see all of the details to it. The other way that we track it is by category, because sometimes you don't want it by state. Maybe you want to understand what are the regulations about oil disposal or tire disposal or autonomous vehicles, you know. And so we track it not only by state, but by category to give the user different ways to access that kind of information. And we also do custom reports and different things that shops may need. And it's as simple as if a shop wanted to know something, they can simply email us or call us, and we will personally look that stuff up for them.
Just as a quick side note, I don't know what you guys think about this, but if every state has a different rule for autonomy, how are we going to drive from one end of the country to the other? And hopefully the car is smart enough to know the different laws and what can or can't be done. Where's the federal law one day that's going to control these level 5 cars? I mean, who knows? I may not even be around when that happens, but it's crazy.
Carm, you know, it's very interesting. And last week at our meeting in Nashville, we had one of our technical conferences, and I do a regulation and legislation update. And it is amazing how the autonomous vehicle laws have changed. It wasn't but 3 or 4 years ago where states were putting in legislation to not allow autonomous vehicles on public roadways, that it had to be in closed courses and so on and so forth. It was only 3 or 4 years ago. And now most of the bigger states like New York, Illinois, California, that have big, you know, cities in it, have all passed laws that now allow fully autonomous vehicles on public roadways. And, you know, a lot of other states are catching up. I think the one I just gave last week, Jim, if you remember, was, you know, I think it was West Virginia is now allowing level 5. But even Western states, Montana and Utah and a lot of those states are coming on board with legislation allowing it to happen. I have never seen a swing happen so fast on outlawing it to allowing it in such a short period of time. It's been amazing to watch.
If I can add real quick, you mentioned, when's the federal government going to come up and set laws or whatever? Jeff mentioned how you can look up stuff by state or category. They also have a separate listing for federal laws. So not only do we can look for our state that affects us, we can look for federal that affects everybody. MAP does a great job with that legislation.
For $150 a year, for all that you're describing to me, Jeff, Jim, it's almost a no-brainer. And if processes and systems win wars and the standards of your company can be steeped in MAP, Why wouldn't you join? Why wouldn't you let a young intern, spend time on, recommended, suggested to learn what's a pass, what's a fail without, I get the fact that you want to have possibly a mentor, but to have the kind of standards that are driven by your member companies that are helping you write these standards and write the training and write the video, I think we may have missed the boat here as an independent industry to not want to get behind this.
And we're going to try to make it easier for shops too. One of our tiers of our strategic plan is to help schools with MAP, with the Motorist Assurance Program. We work with a lot of schools and we're going to continue to work with schools, and just, we want to give them the program. We want to give them that same learning module that they would be taking in your shop. We want to give it to them beforehand so that they start to learn how to inspect vehicles using the MAP process. When they graduate, they are already certified. So when they get to your shop, they're ready to go. They're ready to inspect. They're ready to use the right language. It's a really important strategic initiative of ours, and we're going to continue to push for every school to be part of our program. And it doesn't cost them a single penny to be involved.
Okay, I'm on an advisory panel for a 2-year community college auto tech program. How do I do this?
Carm, you do it the same way anybody else that would be interested in joining, and you contact us, AMRA. .org, and you can, there's a button there that says school, membership, you fill out the application and you put school, and it sends us a notification, and we contact you, and we work on getting you that e-learning module, the curriculum, the training pieces. And for schools, all this technical training, great resource for instructors. It's a great, it's a great piece. And again, doesn't cost, whether you're a post-secondary junior college or 4-year university or for-profit tech school, or you're a high school, you can be part of our program, and we will get you signed up at no charge.
Wow. Okay. That app that you were talking about, is it desktop only? Can you put it on a phone? Is it mobile?
We made it to where it integrates to any digital inspection platform. So whether it's AutoServe One, Auto Vitals, Bolt On Technology, Auto Text Me, whatever platform you want to use, ours will integrate it. So as long as their platform is mobile, then we will be mobile with it.
Very good. Let me change that just slightly. If I wanted to have the MAP site up and I wanted to have it as an application, an open window so that I could, quickly go to it, can I open it on desktop? Can I open it on a tablet? Can I open it on a handheld device?
Yes, you can.
Any device.
It works on any device. A lot of them have it open up on a point of sale system or a desktop in the service bay that maybe they have their Mitchell or ALLDATA on. A lot of times it's an open window there. And a lot of times, we see it on a lot of scan tools that have the ability to connect to the internet.
Oil changes are going up in price for all the right reasons, okay? And we just did a show recently on just full synthetic oil change. No one's using mineral anymore or blend. The maintenance service, call it what you will in your marketing program, is up there. The customer says, well, why is it so much? And blah, blah, blah. Could I give them a link to, for example, an MAP video that would explain to them what's going on?
Yeah. We have a lot of consumer facing videos. So we have two websites that our members use. The first one is on the AMRA. That's your login. That's your membership site. And that's where you get all your content for a member. But we also have the motorist.org site, and that's our consumer facing. And we have a lot of videos out there, and the oil change one, that's a great topic, because that was one we were really combating a few years ago, where consumers were so used to that $19.99 oil change, and all of a sudden they get hit with these $89 oil changes. And like you said, for the right reasons, the consumer didn't understand what those reasons were, and they fall back on, oh my gosh, my shop is trying to quote unquote rip me off. And that's not the case. And so our videos explain to consumers why things are the way they are. And oil change is a great example. The other one is that we get a lot of requests on is tire repairs. There's a safety area of a tire that you can repair correctly. And consumers often think that you should be able to repair any part of the tire. And so we have videos that a shop can use to show a consumer that industry standards say that you can only repair this section, or industry standards say you have to use 0W20 full synthetic. And here's why. And here's the benefits of that. Yes, you're paying more for an oil change, but this is how your vehicle is going to get 200,000 miles out of it. This is how your vehicle is going to get the fuel economy that it's getting. These engineering changes are the reasons why services are changing. And we can help the independent shops, the service providers, communicate that correctly to their customers.
So I was old enough to remember the big Sears class action debacle. I think you were telling me that this whole class action issue where Congress got involved in everything, is that what spurred MAP?
Sears shock and strut issue was the catalyst for MAP. When that happened, when that aired on 2020, and when the aftermarket industry said, oh my gosh, we have a problem on our hands. Even Congress said there is a problem and we have to intervene. And so when Congress got involved and said to the aftermarket, there's got to be some type of regulation to the industry. Either you can regulate yourself or we're going to regulate you. The aftermarket thought, well, let's self-regulate. Let's start a nonprofit association. They will be part of the regulation to the industry. And so at the time, Sears was the first one that put a tremendous amount of money and resources to start this association, but they weren't alone. There was, at the time it was Sears, it was Firestone, it was Goodyear, it was Merchant Tire, it was Monroe, Hunter Engineering. Those were the founding members that started this back in 1992.
The big box organizations embraced MAP, and now you're at a particular point in the history of this great organization where you're saying, we got to embrace the independents, we got to bring them inside, bigger than we ever have.
Yeah, it made sense for the big box retailers to join first, because not only was every news station looking to run a segment on why the automotive industry was so bad, but every class action law firm out there was thinking, hey, you know, we can make some money on this. And those big box retailers were had the targets on their back because of the financial results that could get out of a class action. So it made sense for those to join first. Over time, we started to develop different resources, and we started to add regional and smaller chains of organizations on board. You know, for us, if our mission is to have every, you know, to improve the trust between consumers and repair shops, if we don't include the independents, we're never going to achieve our vision. And so we started to think, what kind of resources do independent shops need? How can we support independent shops better than we've ever have? And that's been a big push for the last couple of years. You know, the membership is great. But it's not for us being a not-for-profit. It's not about membership. It's about support. It's about changing the behaviors of consumers. It's about changing their ideas of the aftermarket. It's a push for us. And we didn't want to just take our current programs and try to make it work for independent shops. They need different resources. They need different help. And so we have totally different strategies to help support them. And we have a whole team right now that's working on creating resources. You probably can't see what's behind me, but we have a studio in here, and we're creating, you know, videos specifically for independent shops, where we're trying to make it easier to manage your relationship with us as an independent. We know that you don't have a training staff, and you may be, as a shop owner, too busy to figure out how to make this work. So creating short videos to help guide you, give you the word tracks, how to roll this out, how to explain this to technicians, how to get technicians on board. So we're working on all that stuff. And we're also working with companies like ATI and others to create resources, soft skill resources for independent shops, things like time management, and conflict management and all the other things that we all need to be successful in our roles. And so all of this stuff is being developed and rolling out every day. And so it's a great time for independent shops to get involved. And as an independent shop, we would love to hear from them and get advice on what other things do we need to add. We will do our best to create that and get it out to those shop owners.
You may be our best kept secret right now to build customer trust, transparency, build standards. I'm pretty impressed. You know, your own studio to help me. How many times we want to put something really nice up on our homepage on our shop's website. And what I think I'm hearing from you is that there may be some resources to pull on that. The whole legal thing from state to state, the federal issue, and the fact that you've got some really top people in the industry that are part of your organization. One of them that I know really well from NAPA is Jason Rainey, VP of NAPA Auto Care. When I hear that Jason's on your board, then it's exciting because I know he's a really passionate guy. And I know, Jim, you know him. Let's wrap this up. Motorist.org is for the consumer. AMRA.org is for your soon-to-be client or member. That would be the independent shop, right?
That's correct. You know, anyone who's thinking about membership, it's AMRA.org. They can reach out to us there. And once you are a member, then that's where you will access all of your information.
Well, I'll be sure the links, at least the link to join is on the website. But I also love the idea of having the consumer link. I mean, go there and see what Motorist Assurance Program is trying to speak to the consumer about to understand what the standards and how to build trust. A final word for you, Jim. Jeff, I'll give you the last. Anything final you need to talk about, Jim?
Well, just to point out, Jeff mentioned Nashville last week where they had their technical conference. They do usually every quarter. That's available for every member to attend. And there's a lot of training that goes on, a lot of key industry individuals putting out cutting edge, changing things. And many of those also, if you can't attend, where they mention all the member facing videos to educate them, there's just as many, if not more, once on the shop login on the AMRA. .org site, where they include some of the presentations from the conferences, technical conferences, and many others. So it's a great educational format as well.
Great point. I love that. Quarterly technical meetings, and anyone can come.
Anyone can come. It's part of the membership. And as Jim said, if you can't make it, we post all those, all the presentations. And we had a variety of topics at this last one. So if you're thinking, what kind of stuff do you talk about? We spent a morning talking about technician shortage. You know, how are we going to, as an industry, how are we going to overcome this? We talked about programs that shops should think about to retain their current, technicians. And then we talked about a variety of other things like, hey, does it make sense to have a charging station at your shop? And if you decide to have a charging station in your shop, is that a revenue generator? Is it something for you should give away to, as a retention for customers, and a variety of different avenues for just chargers? So it goes anything from very technical. We talked about tire repair on EV vehicles. And so there's a lot of very technical stuff, and there's also a lot of very industry-wide stuff, and it's great value. But my last comment is, you know, I think independent shops, they need to be thanked more than they are. They are really the backbone of the aftermarket industry. There are far more independent shops than the big box, and they're really ones that keep this aftermarket piece moving. And thank you to the independent shops for all the work that you do every day, keeping the motorists on the road. And secondly, we all know that servicing vehicles, it's not getting easier. It's getting more complex. It's changing. Everything that we used to think about is changing. We learned last week Tesla has 7 moving parts on a car. 7. How are we going to adapt? How are we going to continue to thrive as an industry? And we think we have a few resources to help anybody, you know, improve and be part of those shops that are successfully able to transition to servicing, you know, newer, more complex vehicles.
Tomorrow we're going to wake up and there's going to be a new rule, a new law, a new feature, a new piece of tech.
go on the list down and down. And you guys have been around a while to appreciate that and to know that we've got to keep up. And if we don't keep up, we're going to go away. By the way, on that charging station, we did a great episode. It was Town Hall Academy 261 on EV charging stations, what you need to know. And we talked to two individuals that actually put them in and the reasons that they did it. And part of it's geographical and access to a main highway and hotels and stuff where they were located for people to seek out a charging station. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. Jim Bennett, full-time ATI coach and the owner of Car Masters, a great 17 bay shop, Norfolk, Virginia, and all the great things you do in the industry. And Jeff Cox, appreciate it, the president of the Automotive Maintenance and Repair Association, and all this great information. We got to get on board with you guys.
We can help you. Thanks, Carm.
Thanks.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.